Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday, September the 22nd, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. I'm hosting solo tonight. You're listening to me on WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You're also listening to This Show Is So Gay alongside all the other fine podcasts found at clickexposed.com every week. This Show Is So Gay is broadcasting with pride worldwide on QNation.fm. Grateful Dread Radio over in Summit, New Jersey is broadcasting us and a ton of other stations. So a lot of great things going on and getting to talk to some really amazing people. So let's just kick it off with some news. So the big news going on right now is with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Advocates had been optimistic that the Democratic-controlled White House and Congress could overcome objections to repeal the law barring gays from serving openly in the military. We were talking about it last week. It's just so crazy that over in Australia, they got rid of the law that said that trans people can't serve. And it was something like decades and decades ago that they said, yeah, of course, gay and lesbian people can serve. But here in the U.S., nope, gay and lesbian, you cannot defend your country. The move, though, of course, to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell is unpopular among Republicans, military officers, and social conservatives. But in the end, the Democrats were expected to fall at least one vote short of the 60 needed to limit debate and advance the legislation. And indeed, they did fall short of that vote. So the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell will not happen. Certainly not right this second. That's not going to happen right this second. So if you have an opinion about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Listener calls tonight. I haven't done that in a while. 802-246-6107. Are you listening in? Do you have an opinion on Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Something other gay that you want to talk about? Let's talk about it. So that's going on. And then in what I thought was just an unbelievable story, because you figure, okay, so gays can't serve openly in the military, and that's pretty messed up, and we should change that. But We've gotten somewhere in this world for gay people, right? They found acceptance in some places. Well, certainly they have, but not so much in Montana. At a time when gays have been gaining victories across the country, the Republican Party in Montana, do they want to get rid of same-sex marriage? Well, they do. Do they want gays to serve openly in the military? They do not. But more than that, they kind of want to make homosexuality illegal. Just flat out illegal. The party adopted an official platform this past June. Did other people know about this? I guess I missed this whole thing. That keeps a long-held position in support of making homosexual acts illegal, a policy adopted after the Montana Supreme Court struck down such laws in 1997. The fact that it's still the official party policy more than 12 years later, despite a title shift in public attitude since then, and the party's own pledge of support for individual freedoms has exasperated at least some GOP members. And this is a quote from State Senator John Brueggemann, who's a Republican. He said, quote, "I looked at it and said, you've got to be kidding me. Should it get taken out? Absolutely. Does anybody think we should be arresting homosexual people? If you take that stand, you really probably shouldn't be in the Republican Party." But yet, still in Montana, going against that grain is the Montana GOP statement, which falls under the, quote, crime section of the GOP platform. I'm telling you, we're talking right now, 2010, in Montana, which I know is the treasure state. And I know that because I did my sixth grade project for Mr. Schneider's class on Montana. We all had to pick a state. I chose Montana. I wrote to the governor for information about Montana. I think he wrote me back personally because he was so excited that someone was doing a project on Montana, the treasure state. The platform in this crime section, it states, quote, "We support the clear will of the people of Montana expressed by legislation to keep homosexual acts illegal." 2010, GOP platform, the treasure state of Montana. I'm going to play for some music for you. We have some amazing guests coming up in the show. This is, you know, one of them, and enjoy.
Yeah! I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy, yeah. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby. And what it all comes down to is that everything's gonna be fine. I'm young and I'm underpaid. I'm tired but I'm working, yeah. I care but I'm restless. I'm here but I'm really gone. I'm wrong and I'm sorry, baby. And what it all comes down to is that everything's gonna be quite alright. 'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one.
Oh, to glory.
Love her so much. That's Kate Pizzakis. She's going to be on the show in just a little bit. Do you not know Kate Pizzakis? You must know Kate Pizzakis. And I would say in about, 10, 15 minutes, you're going to know her even better. But now you know some of her music. So that is a little taste of New York City. We're going to be talking a little bit about New York City with Kate. And so what I wanted to do was play. And as you know, when I do bells and whistles, sometimes it doesn't work out so well on the show, so I'm going to play for you a little clip. Let's see if this works.
High school was bad. I was Catholic, went to Catholic high schools, Catholic boys' school. My dad was a Catholic deacon, my mom was a Catholic lay minister, and my family was very Catholic. And there were no gay people in my family, and no openly gay people at my school, but I was picked on because, I liked musicals, and I was obviously gay, and some kids didn't like that, and I did get harassed.
My school was pretty miserable. I lived in Spokane, Washington, which is a mid-sized town with a small town mentality. And I was picked on mercilessly in school. People were really cruel to me. I was bullied a lot, beat up, thrown against walls and lockers and windows, stuffed into bathroom stalls. People shit on my car, people scratched my car, broke my windows. And my parents went in once to talk to the school administrators about the harassment I was getting at school, and they basically said, if you look that way, talk that way, walk that way, act that way, then there's nothing we can do to help your son.
Now you're thinking, Ken, that's depressing. Why are you playing that? That's depressing. Indeed, that is not depressing. Writer Dan Savage, that was Dan Savage and his husband, Terry. They are reaching out to LGBT teenagers to let them know that life may be difficult now, but here's the key phrase, folks, it gets better. The It Gets Better project is inspired by the suicide of 15-year-old Indiana teenager Billy Lucas, who hanged himself just last week in his family's barn after enduring bullying from his classmates. After writing a post on the Slog about Lucas's death last week, one commenter expressed a desire to have spoken to him to tell him that things get better. Well, Savage, in his September 21st, just yesterday, Savage Love podcast, said he felt the same way and decided to address the problem. The project is a YouTube channel where LGBT adults, this is so freaking cool. Go to this YouTube channel. You just type in It Gets Better. LGBT adults can upload videos targeted at gay teens to let them know that their future can still be bright. That first video that I just played a clip from was yesterday morning. That was Dan Savage and his husband talking about growing up as gay teenagers. So this is huge. This is huge. Because I think we've talked about this on the show before. When you come out, it's different than coming out into other identities, accepting your ethnic identity, accepting your religious identity, your racial identity, in that odds are there are other people in your family who can talk to you and you can hash things out and reconcile your identity. And if you're having difficulties or you're being challenged on parts of your identity, you have this biological family. You have this family you can go home to and say, as a teenager, and say, well, this is what I'm struggling with. And how do I reconcile this? And did you go through this? And when you're a gay teen, odds are that your parents are not gay. And so going home and having that exact same conversation, certainly you can talk about acceptance and difference, but it's a little bit different, and some teens might hesitate to do that. So the fact that there's this YouTube channel now where LGBT adults can play that role, they can be this user's guide that really and truly saves lives. I have to make one of these. I want to make one of these videos that, sure, I had not as bad experiences as overtly bullying experiences Dan Savage and his husband Terry had, as they just talked about in that YouTube clip, but certainly had some real rough moments in high school and certainly times that the depression was pretty strong, solely and completely derivative of the bullying that I experienced at Pascack Hills High School. Go Cowboys. But if I had had some sort of opportunity to, you know, talk to other gay people, because there weren't really gay people on TV. There was that guy in Melrose Place, but he didn't really kiss anyone. And so that was kind of depressing. But if I had had the opportunity to talk to other gay people, that would have helped me enormously. So please stroll on over to the It Gets Better project on YouTube and watch some videos and maybe get inspired to make your own video. I would like to make one. I would like to make one. In other school news, there's other school news out there. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Tulsa, Oklahoma School Board is going to be adding sexual orientation to its non-discrimination policy for students, staff, and parents. That's huge. Oklahoma, who knew? You think these things only happen in New England? That's not true. The unanimous vote this past Monday approving the policy addition was made in accordance with the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights. This is what a spokeswoman for the school district told the Tulsa World. Toby Jenkins of Oklahomans for Equality told The Advocate in an email that the vote took decades of behind-the-scenes work. I have no doubt. And his quote also was, quote, "We are pretty proud of this in the heartland." Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Adding sexual orientation to its non-discrimination policy for students, staff, and parents. That's huge. It's a huge deal. Over in Maine, good old New England, the Maine Human Rights Commission ruled that a transgender sixth grader was discriminated against because she was barred from using the girls' bathroom in school. School officials claimed that they acted properly by training their staff, educating their students, and allowing the student to use a separate bathroom and locker room. Still, the unnamed student, because, you know, she's only in sixth grade, she shouldn't be named, no longer goes to the Orono Middle School, where she reportedly experienced bullying from classmates, which it led to anxiety and depression during the 2008-2009 school year. In choosing to disallow her to use the girls' bathroom facilities, the school was implicitly isolating and alienating her from the other students, her parents wrote to the commission. They went on to say, "We determined that what we needed to modify our actions to do the best that we could to ensure our child's safety." So for this trans sixth grader, who I can only imagine was experiencing so much bullying, that's a big deal, is designating bathrooms and what bathrooms are people going to use. And is your school even having that conversation? Are they even having that conversation? That's a pretty important conversation to have. So some good work going on there in Maine and other parts of New England. All right. So I'm going to play another song for you by tonight's guest, Kate Pizzakis. What do we want to play for you? There's so many good Kate Pizzakis songs. It's kind of hard to choose one. I'm going to play a little ditty called Sober. This is Sober, and it's a cover, and some of you know who originally sang this, but that's not the point. Here you go. Until you let go completely.
comparing, second guessing. No, not this time. 3 months and I'm still breathing. Been a long road since those hands I left my tears.
All those applause for Sober. That was me. You thought that was a live audience? That was just me. And with that, I kind of want to welcome a guest. Guest, are you there?
I'm here.
Let me introduce you. Broadway diva Kate Pizzakis. I have been playing her all night long. Her music, not playing her. My God, people, what a mind you have. I'm sorry. She has performed just all over the place, readings, charity benefits. She released her debut album, Unzipped, which you can get on iTunes and Amazon, and gosh knows you better go and do that. It features brand new material by Tony Award-winning composer Jason Robert Brown. She was in the big gay musical, That Movie. I saw her in a Broadway Diva Christmas musical, so many other things. And I must say, she is the one and only Audrey to my Seymour. Kate Pizzakis, welcome to this show, Is So Gay.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so glad to finally be here. We've been talking about this for so long.
I know. What do you mean? I don't know you. I know you.
Oh, wait, right, because we're friends.
I'm friends with a guest. It's kind of fun. Kate, I love you.
I one of you.
Okay. Can we have so much to talk about. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm so ready. I'm drinking wine.
Nice.
I wouldn't do Lotto, and I'm sitting here with a bottle of wine ready to do this.
All okay. Right. All right. I'm ready. So, Kate, you know that your voice is, like, ridiculous, right?
Oh, stop.
Tell everyone, at what point did you know, okay, I can sing in a way that other people... let me start basic. You understand that you can sing in a way that other people cannot sing.
Well, I know that I love to sing, and I know that the way that I love to sing has affected people. That's what I think.
Okay. At what point, then I'll go with your words. Let's use your words. At what point did you know that your voice could affect other people?
I think it was in high school, actually.
Okay.
I had to actually choose between playing the clarinet and singing. And I was like, oh, well, I should probably play the clarinet. It's better. And my teacher, Miss Marcia Withrall from Massachusetts.
Nice.
She said, no, you really have to sing. And I was like, well, okay, sure, I guess I can sing. And then she said, well, we're going to offer you a lead. And I was a freshman in high school.
Wow.
In a musical. And I was like, well, all right, I guess I'll do it if I'm going to have a lead in a musical. So that's probably when.
What was the part?
It was in Diamonds, the musical.
I don't know what
yeah,
that is.
Nobody's ever heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you Diamond, the stripper with a heart of gold?
It was a baseball musical.
Oh, I see. I went in a totally different direction. I see now that I got that wrong.
Yeah, and I played the boy, which was really awesome when I was a freshman. Really cool.
What was the showstopper?
What was it called? Oh, my God.
I'm Stealing Home.
What You Call a Dream, I think.
Okay, or that. Or that.
I think that's what it was called.
Yeah, okay.
What You Call a Dream.
So you and you sure. Won the pennant?
I'm lying to you.
Okay,
it's
fine.
I won the pennant. Yeah, I really just wanted to, you know, be the person who everybody wanted me to be and play baseball. Blah,
okay.
Blah, blah, blah. You know how it is.
Oh my gosh! I totally want to go see you sing. That's gonna be like the next big charity concert. Is Kate Pazakis in Diamonds?
In Diamonds, her freshman high school musical.
Yes,
awesome.
I would totally go see that. Raising money for This Show Is So Gay. That'll be our big charity concert for the show.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. All right. So then,
it is thundering and lightning like crazy here in New York right now. Just so you know,
wasn't it like a tornado last week?
I think so. I wasn't here. I was on vacation, but yeah.
They let you do that? They let New York City lets you go on vacation?
Sometimes they cry, but
okay.
You know, I can go away for a few days.
Because I kind of want to talk about that too. In some ways, wow, this is going to be, might catch you a little off guard. In some ways, you kind of are New York City cabaret property. I mean, I would imagine that there are these people that are like, oh my gosh, of course, Kate Pazakis. Who doesn't know Kate Pazakis? And so I'm surprised that they let you leave.
Let me leave. Like the cabaret and theater people like have like a little like crossroads at the end of like the bridge and the George Washington Bridge. Like, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to leave.
I'm
anymore.
Sorry, Kate. There's an electronic fence here and you can't leave the cabaret world. Well, and we've talked about this on the show before because we've had a couple cabaret people on in the past couple of years. And for all of our listeners who are all over the heartland and really all over the world who don't have the cabaret scene in their town, who really have absolutely no idea what that even means. What is New York City cabaret like? What are people missing if they don't have it?
All right. Well, cabaret, I think, is a very interesting subject for me because, and I'm going to say this, and like 10 people are going to turn off their radios, but I hate cabaret.
There you go. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Kate. It was,
there's a new face of cabaret in the last, like, 8 or so years that has kind of refreshed itself. Because for years and years and years, it was just people sitting on a stool talking about themselves. Like, I did this, and then I went to this, and that. And honestly, I just don't really care that much.
There you go.
I don't care, so. But now, like, finally people are starting to turn it into something a little more fun along, like, lines of, like, the old German Berlin cabaret.
Nice.
A little more interesting, a little more edgy, a little more fun. And that's what I like.
Okay.
And that's what I'm into, and that's what I've kind of worked for myself over the years, is to kind of create a different path in cabaret and to re-inspire people.
That's fantastic. So let's walk people through, though. Okay, so you did Diamonds the Musical. I'm sure you did other musicals in high school. What was the big one?
Diamonds. I don't think I've even talked about Diamonds in, like, 75 years.
That's what this show is for. That's what this is where we go through this, and then you have to lay down on a couch to get therapy after the show. But so you did a couple musicals in high school, I would imagine. What was the big one? The one that you're still singing the songs from?
That was Leader of the Pack, the Ellie Greenwich.
I love that one.
I know, it's such a good musical. Nobody ever knows it.
My name is Ellie, and they called my mama music.
Oh my God.
Why do I know that?
It's called Levittown.
Yes. Right. Sing some songs and my mama helps me write them down. Yes, no, my parents.
Will you sing it? Do you know it?
I do know it. And oh my God, am I not going to sing it? But yeah, no, Doo-Wah Diddy was in it. And my parents
Doo-Wah
took
Diddy.
Me. Yeah, my parents took me to Leader of the Pack. Oh my gosh. Yes, yeah, because the woman from Empty Nest was in Leader of the Pack.
Yes, Dynamite Off.
Kate, why is this information in my head, and is it taking up space?
You know, it terrifies me that you are a doctor, and you have all this useless knowledge in your head. Like, honestly, where is CPR? Where is that? Does that exist in your head?
No, no. Someone's going to be like,
dying, and you're like, well, I can recite the lyrics of my story. Cool.
I need the Heimlich, Doo-Wah Diddy. I'm sorry, it's all I got, sir. You need to really work through it.
Dynamite off.
Yes, it's really useful. I love that show, Christy McNichol. Okay, so you did Leader of the Pack, and then at some point, we'll probably skip ahead a few years, you moved to New York City, which is what a lot of people say. They moved to New York City with their dreams in hand, and they want to make it big. Is that what you were thinking when you moved to New York City?
Of course. Absolutely, that's what I was thinking, yes. 45,000 other girls in New York City, sure.
And so then how did you even get started? Because some people don't even go that far, but then they do it, and then they don't know what to do. What did you do? How did you get started in New York City? Which, as I've heard, is a pretty big place.
It's a very large place.
Yes. Okay.
Well, when I moved to New York, at first, like when I started auditioning for shows, people would pull me aside at the end, and they would say, well, you're really young, because I got here when I was, I think, 19 years old or something like that. And they said, you're not going to work until you're 30 or 35. So have fun, do something else that makes you happy.
Okay.
They said, do something that you love, because you're not really going to work until you're 30 or 35, because I'm a character actress, and I have a huge voice. And imagine me 5'1", like big boobs, screaming like a big black woman, like, and I'm, you know, little with red hair. Like, what parts are there for me at that age?
Right.
So I was like, all right, what can I do? And I sat there, I was like, wow, I really have no skills. This is really good. So I decided to go work in the piano bars in New York.
Now, let's pause right there. I don't think people understand even what that means. And in some ways, it's almost difficult for me to imagine piano bars. Because when you and I, so what are we talking about? We're talking about the 90s in New York City, the late
90s. 1999.
There were so many. And now there are like four.
There are four. Now, it used to be like an institution, and now it just isn't anymore.
There were so many.
Even really exist.
Okay, so you figured, I'm going to go work in the piano bars.
Right. Yeah, so I figured, okay, I'll go do that for a few years. I'll go, you know, build a fan base and a following and build up my repertoire and go perform in the piano bars, which honestly I think was the best decision I ever made, even though at the time I felt like I was wasting my time because all my little, like, chorus girlfriends were working all the time.
Right.
And I was jealous because that's just what happens when you're a kid.
Right. But so tell everyone what piano bars you were at.
Well, I started at Rosie 2.
Yes, I know.
Now, Rosie 2 was like the bastard sister.
I totally was going to say that. That's exactly how I was going to describe it.
Were you really?
Yes, I was going to say it was like the bastard stepsister.
Absolutely. It was like the one, like, further over when it was on 10th Avenue, when nobody went to 10th Avenue.
Except for
you.
Right.
Right. So I started there, and I was just a little kid, and I don't know, it was just a fun time. It was a great time in my life. I felt like I learned a lot at that point.
Right.
And then I decided to get married and not do this for a few years, so I went away for a few years.
Okay.
So then I came back.
I blocked those years out, but yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then I decided one day, when I had been doing real estate, and I was married for a long time, that was a hellish time in my life, that I wanted to be an actress because all my friends were appearing on Playbill and Broadway World, and I was getting jealous again, and I was like, I'm going to go to this again. So I went back and I started working at the Duplex downtown.
Love it.
And that has been the last, how many years? Like 7 years of my life?
Oh my gosh.
Seven? Yeah, I think 7 years.
Look at that.
That's a long time.
The thing that people don't get about piano bars that I try to explain to people all the time, but is difficult for some folks to comprehend, is that what's happening at the piano bars rivals and in a lot of cases surpasses what's happening on Broadway. I mean, the talent at piano bars, these aren't people who don't have the voice and don't have the talent. They're just people for who, for whatever reason, probably the reason being because there's only a few Broadway parts, aren't on Broadway. The talent at these piano bars is incredible, is it not? Talk about the talent that's at piano bars.
There's so much talent at piano bars. It's absolutely insane. I think that sometimes the piano bars are the place to go find, like, untapped talent.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, what happens to people who work at piano bars is they create a huge fan base.
Right.
And they stay up all night and they don't go to auditions. So that's kind of what happens with a lot of people at piano bars. That's what I think.
Oh, it's like a vicious circle.
Not. It's honestly, like, get up early. Just go to bed early.
Okay.
That's what I think. But the talent's ridiculous. And some of the people that I've heard sing in piano bars are better than anybody that I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I remember, okay, so if folks who are my loyal listeners to the show know that I did a very brief stint working in piano bars, and I was not one of those people who had the voice of Broadway. That was not my thing. I was doing more comedy songs and just trying to keep people entertained.
I think piano bars went through a phase of that, though, like the mid-90s, where it was all about, like the comic actors,
yes,
instead of the singers.
That was me. That was me. But there were people, I was working with people who just had the voice. And I remember, so you'd start working at like 10:30, and people would trickle in from Broadway and say, wait a second, I just paid $75 for a ticket, and this is going on for a drink? You know, like, what's
right.
That about? So really, it is the most unbelievable talent for whatever reason, you know, that these Broadway shows that have four parts, you can't get one of them.
And a lot of it is, like, a lot of people who work in the piano bars don't dance.
Right.
And things like that. You know, that's how it is.
Okay.
You know.
And then you wrote a show.
And then I wrote a show.
We love the show. What was the name of the show?
It was called The Sexless Years.
The Sexless Years. And did it not win an award?
I didn't really win any awards, actually. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Wait, can I convince you that you did? Didn't you win a MAC award?
No, I totally didn't.
That's oh, right. Did you get nominated?
No, because I didn't apply for it at that point. Because you have to, like, put yourself in for it. But I did not, no.
Okay, I tell people that you won a MAC award, just so you know.
Well, all right, well, you're a liar.
So, Kate Pizzakis, MAC award-winning actress, Kate Pizzakis. Yeah, no, I say that all the time.
Oh, yeah, and I won a Tony and an Oscar.
Yes, no, absolutely. I tell everyone that you won for costume design, the 1999
right.
Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you did The Sexless Years, and you didn't win a MAC Award, but, you know, the way I tell it, you did, and I would just keep calling into this show.
Honestly, The Sexless Years was quite a feat, though, because when I originally wanted to do it, I was planning on doing two nights.
Okay.
I did it for a year straight, every Friday night.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for a year straight, I never, ever... ever had a house that wasn't sold out.
Oh my gosh.
It was really fun. And
the plan was only to do it for two nights?
For two nights.
Wow. Okay.
And then we did it for a year.
That's fantastic. And then you won the MAC Award.
That was a great show.
Yeah.
And then I won a fake MAC Award. So that was fun.
We call that the Schnack Award. That's what we'll call it now. That's what we'll call it.
The Schnack Award.
And then what about, and then suddenly Sondheim. Mostly Sondheim. So, I love how I call it Suddenly Sondheim. Mostly Sondheim.
Suddenly Sondheim. And then after that, I decided I was going to do another show with my friend Brandon Cutrell, who now is the host of The After Party.
Oh, wow.
And then I decided we're going to do a show that was going to, again, be about a month long called Strictly Sondheim. I think that's what we called it originally. And it was only Sondheim, and that's it. And then we wanted to kill ourselves after about 2 years.
Yeah,
really,
yeah. I'm not a Kate, do you know this? I'm actually not a Sondheim fan. I can't stand him.
Are you kidding?
Have we never talked about this?
Oh, no. I don't think we can be friends anymore.
Oh, no. We've been friends for 10 years. Yeah, no, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. I don't like it.
All right. Forgive you.
Okay, so you did this, and you thought that this would be a show that went on for a little bit, and then what happened?
And we've been doing it for 5 years now.
Look at that.
Yeah. 5 years. And now, at one point, Brandon went uptown, and he started his own show called The After Party, and he does that now on Fridays, and I do mostly Sondheim.
And how much, what is the Sondheim to other songs ratio?
I'd say we have about 3 Sondheim songs.
And then everything else. Okay, and then tell me, because this is a big gay story, word on the street, and by the street I mean the Facebook, was that you had a Madonna run-in last week.
I actually did.
What happened?
I was cast in a very, very, very small part, but, you know, not every part is, what did they say?
There are no small parts.
Small parts, they're only small actors, right, okay.
Yes.
In Madonna's movie, and I got to hang out with her all day long.
Wow.
And she loved me, so that was fun. She nicknamed me Red, so that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Did you drool on her? Because I would have drooled on her.
I'm kind of obsessed. Like, she's so, like, little and fit. She had on these little diesel jeans and an Adidas hoodie, and still, like, can you even see how ripped she is even in that? She had these little horn-rimmed glasses on, her hair in a ponytail, and she's funny.
Wow.
Really, really funny.
You met Madonna.
My daughter, like, lost her tooth during our lunch break, so that was fun to experience.
You were there for, like, a Madonna pivotal... You were there for a Madonna pivotal parenting moment.
Like, honestly, like, she got... Her eyes were all teary, and Lola was like, you just lost your tooth. It was really kind of beautiful, but...
Oh, look at that.
I feel like I know Madonna, even though I don't really know her. She probably won't remember me tomorrow, but...
I feel like I know her by proxy now.
I know.
I also feel like I won
a
Mac Award.
I won a Madonna dance contest in Girl Scouts when I was in seventh grade.
What was the song? Cherish. I think it was Cherish.
It was Lucky Star.
Of course it was. Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to make you do the tradition, because all guests on this show, Kate, have to talk about some musical selections. And with you, this is a little bit interesting, because on your album, this Live at the Unzipped, Live at the Zipper Theater, you do a lot of covers in this. And so what we normally ask guests to do is talk about music that they've made or songs that they've selected, and these I've selected for you. So what I'm going to ask you to do, Kate Pizzakis, I'm going to give you some songs that you sang on your album, and I want you to tell everyone what these songs say about Kate Pizzakis.
Wow.
I know. I know. This is very, it's a little bit emotional.
The show is so good.
I know. So what does Hand in My Pocket, what do you think Hand in My Pocket says about Kate Pizzakis?
What does it say?
This is so exciting.
It says that life will give you whatever it wants to give you. You're just going to have to roll with the punches. That's what I think. That's what that says.
Look how you did that. That was easy. That was easy.
Yeah, it wasn't so hard.
Okay, you got two more. What? Good try. That we start off easy, though. What does?
Oh,
and
God.
And I know I've told you this a million times. It's such a surreal experience. Like, is it a little weird to you that people who know you and then also people who don't know you are driving around in their cars and listening to your music? Like, you are singing on their radio.
It's kind of actually really bizarre. My cousin texted me today. She was in Stop and Shop, and she said, you're on the radio at Stop and Shop right now.
Oh, my gosh.
She sits, and Sirius plays my show all the time. Seth Rudetsky plays me on his show all the time, and it's really kind of weird.
That's fantastic.
And, like, I'm listening to you on the radio. It's, you know.
That's fantastic. Well, as you know, this is actually one of my favorite songs off the album, and I think it's really because of, and we've already played it, so folks know what you do at the end of the song. I love Sober. I don't know the original, though, so I don't really care whoever that teeny bopper was that sang it. What do you think Sober, the song Sober, says?
Do I think that Sober means?
What do you think it says about Kate Pizzakis?
That I can get through anything.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way? I mean, because I think you can get through anything.
No, I absolutely think so.
Okay.
I think it's a song about, like, a passionate girl who has gone through a crisis and now she just wants to breathe and get through it.
That's
awesome. What I
think. And then I'll even make this easy for you. I will play, because I got to play you out. What other song would you like me to play off the album? You get to pick.
And you said Sleepy Man, maybe?
Would you want me to play Sleepy Man? I can play Sleepy Man. What do you think that Sleepy Man says about Kate Pizzakis?
I think it's about love.
Yeah.
And really loving your partner and giving everything you can. And sometimes it's the small moments in life that matter and not the big ones.
Look at that. Look what you just did on the air.
It's so romantic, and you didn't even know it.
I knew it. I knew it. I've sang with you. So where can folks go to learn about all the cool things that you're doing?
My website, www.katepizzakis.com. Right now, I am currently about to do a Birdland show on September 27th. And that's at 7 o'clock, and I'm doing a NIMP show, New York Musical Theater Festival show, that starts on the 30th, called Frog Kiss.
Wow.
Which is like an adult take on a child's musical, so it's really funny.
That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. And I assume that this Saturday is sold out?
Not yet, actually.
Oh. Okay, so folks can go and get tickets. So you need to go get tickets. Kate, I wish I could go. I wish I could go.
I know. Can you just come back and just get in the car?
Oh, I'm going to feel bad now. So if you had to give me, because you also have a voice studio, do you not?
I do. I teach the chillins to sing. I do.
Look at that. So if you had to, now you've sang with me a bunch of times, sure, only one song, but if you had to give me one piece of advice of something that I need to work on in my singing, what would you say?
To breathe.
I don't breathe.
No, you don't breathe.
I didn't know that that's important. So what you're saying then is the breathing is important.
I guess so. Yeah,
okay.
I think it's a small fact.
All right. Okay. Kate Pizzakis, I have to tell you, and you can do with this what you will, you're one of my favorite people on this planet.
Oh,
I just, it's so fun for me because I just have this perspective of just knowing you for so long. And I love just even looking at your Facebook and seeing these people and how much your music and your voice, it's your voice, how much your voice is affecting people out there. And there's so many people who don't do anything with the talents that they're given. And I love that I have this one friend, and I have tons of friends who do this, but I love that you are one of these people who has a talent and is using the talent and is making a difference by showing everyone you have to go with your talents. I just think it's fantastic. Kate?
I just hit mute with my cheek.
So, yes, Kate, you are using your talent, and I just think it's fantastic.
Thank you, Ken.
Oh, all right. Kate, I want you to have the most amazing show.
Well, it's actually my Birdland show's on Monday.
On Monday. I don't know why I said Saturday.
No.
Okay, have the most amazing show on Monday night. Can you tell me a couple songs that you'll be singing?
It's actually all new stuff that I've never done before.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm doing Your House by Alanis Morissette.
Fantastic. I love that one.
F.U. song by CeeLo, which I think is going to be really fun.
I don't even know that, but okay.
Oh, honestly, just download it. It's so much fun. One of the best songs to ever come out.
Okay.
I'm doing Perfect, one of the cut songs from Next to Normal.
Oh, awesome.
It's going to be great. I'm doing By My Side with this girl named Megan Reinking, who was in Hair, Bye Bye Birdie, Dracula.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. All right, well, this is wishing nothing but the best to my pal, Kate Pizzakis. Stroll on over to www.katepizzakis.com. See all the cool things she's doing, and absolutely go on over to iTunes. And Kate has a very strong message, because I've heard her say this before. We do not want you burning CDs, folks. You need to go and purchase, especially for these independent artists. It's so important that you support the independent artists and buy their music off of iTunes and not burn it for other people. So, right, they shouldn't burn
Definitely
the CDs.
Not.
Okay.
I got really, really angry about that.
I remember. That was one of the angriest Facebook posts I had ever seen. It was awesome.
I just couldn't believe it was really happening.
I know.
Anyway. Oh.
Kate, love you to death. You're going to keep on singing, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right. Kate, thank you so much.
All right,
our audience loves you.
Too.
All the best in your show, Kate.
All right, Ken. Bye.
Bye. That's Kate Pizzakis, everybody. One of just the most incredible singers out there, just doing, using her voice. You need to go use your voice, and I want to hear from you. So please drop me an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com and tell me which guests you want, who do you want to hear on the show, what issues do you want to talk about, how do you get Kate Pizzakis' phone number. I'll just give it out. I give things like that out. I don't care. She loves to hear. Okay, I probably won't give that out. Maybe her PIN number. I could give out her PIN number. That'd be okay. So that's Kate Pizzakis. Go check out her music. Use your voice. Learn about all the cool things happening in this world. Go see a show. Make the world safer for somebody else. And above all else. Well, wait, not above all else. First, go on over to thisshowissogay.com, because that you can check out old podcasts and look at upcoming guests. And I want you to like us. It's important to like This Show Is So Gay on Facebook, returning to the earlier idea of above all else, above all these things in the world, folks, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay? Have a great week, everybody.
Some heavy seas, but but you've done your best. Sleeping man, let your troubles lay, let your breathing ease, while I rub your chest.
This is your last chance, and it's my last stand. Every time I would try to tell you, every nerve, every word would shake, watching my chance fade away.